Malaysia is a country whose culture has absorbed influences from many of its neighbors to add to its own.
And nowhere is that more evident than in the country's cuisine. Easy access to fruits and vegetables, as well as to seafood and staples like rice and noodles, is key. Add in a wide variety of spices, and both professional cooks and home cooks can turn out amazingly tasty dishes.
Ping Coombs is a Malaysian cook and won Britain's Master Chef in 2014. She serves up her signature bao and more at her pop-up, Chairman Ping, and is also the executive chef to Chi Kitchen, a Pan-Asian restaurant. Those are both in England. Her new cookbook is Malaysia, Recipes from a Family Kitchen. Ping, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thank you for having me.
We're so happy to have you. And I have to say, I am thrilled to have you because I was in Malaysia about 10 years ago, just almost exactly 10 years ago, and still dream of the amazing food that I enjoyed there. And so for those not familiar with Malaysia, can you place it on a map for us?
Well, Malaysia is, a lot of people think of Singapore and they know where Singapore is and they know where Thailand is. Well, think of it like that. Malaysia is sandwiched in between. So you know exactly where it is. And it is kind of the less kind of popular or famous, I would say, country. If you think Thailand, everybody knows where Thailand is and Singapore is. But once you've been to Malaysia, it's unforgettable. I would call it a hidden gem. And some reason, I like to actually keep it that way.
I can appreciate that.
And for those of us who haven't been there, can you tell us what makes Malaysia special, especially when it comes to its food?
Well, Malaysia is a multicultural country. So it's made up of Malays, Chinese, and Indians, and many other ethnicity as well. If you think about it, we also have West Malaysia and East Malaysia, so the food are also very different between those two parts. But just the main kind of the cultures with the Malay, Chinese, and Indians, we are being classed as the original fusion food. Mm. So Malaysia have beaches, beautiful mountains, and it's just a great destination for holiday as well as its food. People, when they visit Malaysia, they are a bit taken aback by the variety of what we have. And it's so cheap as well to eat out. So especially the arrays of street food markets we have is just amazing to behold. And I always tell my friends who hasn't actually been to Malaysia, if you eat a dish every meal, 3 meals a day on average, but the average Malaysians eat 6 meals a day, for 2 weeks holiday, you probably won't try all of the country's specialities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's such a range of food, but there also are some spices and seasonings, I think, that really kind of say Malaysian cooking. What are some of those most common flavors that you use?
So the common flavors are lemongrass and shrimp paste. Shrimp paste is this fermented shrimps that's been fermented in the sun, so they actually are really pungent. Some people don't like the smell of it. I, for one, love the smell of it to add kind of like this umaminess into your food. It's almost like anchovies.
Mm-hmm.
We use quite a lot of that in dressings and curries, and also toast them to actually make sauces. We have lots of dry chilies and fresh chilies. We have something called chinchaluk as well, which is also a shrimp kind of sauce. And then we have the Chinese influence as well. So a lot of that very common to Cantonese cooking. So there's a fusion in there as well. We have Nyonya cooking, which is a fusion between Malay and Chinese cooking. So they used dry shrimps a lot and dry cuttlefish. So there's a lot of things going on in Malaysian cooking.
For you, there's the love affair with the food, and there's also the memories that are tied into it. Ping, you write about the memories of your mother's cooking and how she had a routine to her days, and it revolved in some ways around food.
Oh, I think not only my mother's, but I think every kind of Malaysian, the talk always begins with, what are we having? What are we having for lunch or for dinner or for breakfast the next day. And I still remember to this day waking up to the smells of the pot of stew cooking. Or my mom is a working mom, so she has to plan her day, and she will put the pot of soup on the stove, a charcoal stove outside the house, bubbling away for the next 4 to 6 hours, you know, so that it's slow cooked. And you can actually wake up to the smells and the sound of her chopping board. Mm. So these are memories that I, you know, that kind of shape my childhood. And I think food has that power to create memories. You talked about you still remember the food when you were in Malaysia 10 years ago. And what I want to create is to, you know, for people who have been to Malaysia, that the taste and the flavor and the smell of Malaysia reminds them of their happy memories when they are visiting Malaysia. And for those who haven't been to Malaysia, I want to entice them with these flavors and culture and colorful food that they can actually find in Malaysia.
We're talking with Ping Coombs about her new cookbook, new beautiful cookbook, I must say, Malaysia Recipes from a Family Kitchen. And let's dig into one of the recipes that you provided for us, Ping. And this one really brought back some of those amazing memories I was talking about eating in Malaysia. It's spicy prawn, or we might say shrimp, and vermicelli salad. And for our listeners, that's up on the Central Time Facebook page. And this is one of those Nonya recipes, the Chinese and Malay fusion. Take us through that recipe.
So it's a salad which is predominantly, when we talk about salad, and the first thing you think about is salad leaves and cucumber and tomatoes and thrown in together with a salad dressing. But Malaysian salad, we also call it kerabu. It's a nyonya salad, and this particular one is it's one of my favorite. It's predominantly rice noodles, and it's bulked up with also with beautiful cherry tomatoes that give a little bit of tang to it as well, some crunchiness from the cucumber and bean sprouts, and then bound together with to make this whole salad work is the sambal belacan dressing. We talk about shrimp paste, so in here we use chilies, fresh chilies, blended with a little bit of shrimp paste, lime juice, and sugar. Very simple to create this tangy, spicy, and sweet sauce. It's almost like a sweet and sour with a little bit of the shrimp paste underlining in there. And then we dress the salad with the shrimps, or prawns, with coriander and toasted coconut. So it's really fragrant, very addictive to eat. And I served it once to some Italian friends, and they've never had Malaysian food before. And they loved it. They thought it was one of the best salads they've ever eaten.
Oh, sounds like a perfect summertime dish, too.
Oh, absolutely. And the best thing about it, you can actually do everything in advance. It's just combining it, and it keeps really well. And you can eat it in room temperature. You can eat it straight from coal. It's such a delicious thing to eat.
Is there any vegetarian adaptation that you might suggest for someone who might not want to do the prawns and the shrimp paste?
Yes, absolutely. So I would add a lot more crunchy vegetables on there. So it's all the recipes are really easily adaptable to vegetarian. So instead of the shrimp paste, I don't add a lot on that. So I'll balance it with the chilies, lime, and also if you can get it over there, vegetarian fish sauce, which is a mushroom extract, which you can then use to substitute the shrimp paste. And I will substitute, I will take out the shrimps. I will add maybe sliced tofu, slightly fried if you want. If you want to actually leave it out, you can do. But we also actually have deep-fried tofu here, like tofu puffs, which soaks up all those lovely dressing. And you can add strips of it on there to make it vegetarian as well.
And you just mentioned fish sauce, vegetarian fish sauce, but here in the U.S., I think actually fish sauce is easier to find in just a regular grocery store maybe than shrimp paste. So would regular fish sauce also be a substitution?
Yes, absolutely.
Great.
Absolutely. So you can actually use fish sauce as a substitution as well.
Because I have that in my fridge, but I don't have shrimp paste. So that makes it that much faster for me to make it. So Ping, you won Britain's MasterChef 2014 competition. What was that like?
It was quite surreal for me, actually, because I enter it not to win. I enter it thinking, I'm just going to have some fun because it looks fun and I love cooking, so why not? And I was in a situation where it's more that. I thought to myself, I was made redundant when I received the application. So I thought, you know, at that time, kind of the darkest point of my life, I thought, well, why not? I have nothing to lose. I have no job to go to. Why don't I enter this competition and see where it leads to? And, you know, I just want to have some fun. And lo and behold, I just got through a stage and the stages, and I thought, actually, I stood a chance here. So it was very surreal for me when my name was called out. I remember bawling my eyes out and thought, oh, my goodness, you know, this is actually real. It hasn't sunk in then. And sometimes I sit and contemplate what life would have been if I wasn't made redundant. I'll probably be stuck in a job that I hate terribly.
Life has a funny way of working out, right? And how did it feel at that moment to bring Malaysian cooking to such a wide audience?
Well, I think I always believe you cook what you love and you cook what you know best. And I truly want to actually showcase the food that I grew up with. I thought long and hard. I mean, I cook other stuff as well. I love cooking. I love cooking a wide range of foods, and I'm always constantly learning. But Malaysia is my home country, and it's a food that means so much to me because the first few years I moved to the UK, I didn't really miss it. I do, but, you know, it's not until a few years into it I thought, I really, really miss the food, and that shaped my childhood. So I started to experiment with it. So it means so much to me, and I think I can only cook genuinely and from my heart if I cook something that really means to me. So I chose Malaysian dishes to showcase who I am and that shaped my childhood. And it received really great feedback because by that point, no one has really known much about Malaysian cuisine. And to be able to showcase it in a show like MasterChef, I was really proud of, and will continue to do so in my career, I think.
We're talking with Ping Coombs right now, and she's sharing some amazing recipes and advice from her new cookbook. It's called Malaysia, Recipes from a Family Kitchen.
And we hope you'll join in at 800-642-1234. Have you sampled Malaysian cooking? Where did you have it, and what did you eat? Does the mix of Malay, Indian, and Chinese ingredients and seasonings intrigue you? What questions do you have for Ping about bringing these recipes into your own kitchen? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page where you can also find the recipes that we're talking about.
And we'll pick up our conversation in just a little bit here on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Judith Sears Poisson.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. And right now we're continuing our conversation with Ping Coombs. Her new cookbook is called Malaysia, Recipes from a Family Kitchen.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Are you familiar with Malaysian cooking? If not, are you tempted to give it a try? What do you need to know to get you going? Ping is happy to help. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page and check out Ping's recipes while you're there. Now, Ping, I'm not sure I ever had enough room for dessert because I loaded up so much on other things, but you have an amazing dessert called Mess Malaysia. Where did that name come from?
Well, in summertime in the UK, we have something called Eton Mess. Have you ever tried
Eton Mess before?
So it's basically a combination of a really crunchy meringue, soft in the middle, and with whipped cream and berries, fresh berries. And now we're into berry season at the moment in the UK, so a lot of cherries and strawberries and raspberries, soft berries, and you top it with the story is that someone dropped a pavlova and then they mixed the meringue cream and berries together and it become Eton Mess. Rumors has it happened in a college called Eton. So it has thus begin this dessert called Eton Mess. So I love that dessert. And when I was asked to write a recipe for a magazine, I came up with this idea. How could I take the dessert that I love so much and turn it into a bit more to the suited to the Malaysian kind of culture? So I've taken that idea and I have added pineapples, which I also love, and I braised the pineapple in brown sugar, lime juice, and lemongrass infused in the syrupy goodness. And I made a coconut meringue because a lot of Malaysian desserts and cakes are made out of coconut. So I've combined these two and coconut cream to make a Malaysian version of an Eton mess. And call it a Malaysian mess.
It looks delicious. I'm looking at a picture right now before dinner, which is not a good idea, making me hungry. But you've also got some of these other key flavors from Malaysia. You've got lemongrass, you mentioned, and star anise. What does that do to this flavor?
So star anise is quite anise, aniseedy. So it adds a little bit of a kind of a warming flavor into it. A little bit like Christmas, I guess. Not to overuse it because it's really overpowering. But star anise gives so much flavor and so versatile to puddings and also to braised dishes as well, and also for pickling. So I use star anise to pickle my carrots, to add into rice vinegar and pickled it with carrot. It just adds this subtlety on it. And also with soy sauce, and if you drop star anise into it and cinnamon bark, it gives it such a great flavor, such a warming flavor at the back of it, but not too overpowering. The overuse of star anise could be overpowering, but the right amount just brings out the flavor of certain ingredients. So I love using that a lot.
Well, and then you also have both coconut milk and cream in there too, which just seems like it would make it that much more delicious and decadent.
Yes, it's the cream gives it that structure, and then what it's soft whipped as well. So what I normally do is I soft whip until it just holds its shape. Then I fold in the coconut. It has to be full fat, I have to say. So if you go for a pudding, go for full fat. and you can go low fat, but I recommend full fat. And and I kind of whipped the coconut cream with it, the thickest part, the thick coconut cream with it. So it gives it the structure and also the underlining flavor of coconut, just to bulk up the coconut taste into them, match beautifully with the pineapples.
Well, that recipe is up on the Central Time Facebook page, so others can see both how good it looks and, and find out how to make it. Now, Ping, we know from following you on social media that you are expecting your second child in about a month, I think, and that you have your daughter who you have cook with you. Tell us how you get her interested in cooking and spending time in the kitchen.
I think she sees her mother cooks a lot in the kitchen, and I think to encourage her to cook, we let her do certain things like cracking the eggs and try not to actually make too much of a fuss if she make a mess. I have another a chef friend of mine who said that never ever criticize a child or get angry if they make a mess, because you don't want to deter them from actually cooking. So I let her make a mess, and I clear it out after to get her starting. You know, by doing simple things like whisking the eggs. Now she do more complicated things, you know, she stir fry the other day. She sit on top of a box. She stand on top of a stool, and then she stir fry a bit of mushrooms. Even though her attention span is probably about like 2 minutes at the most. At least I got her involved, and she loved making sushi as well. So it's one of the things that she also loved cooking, and we love taking her to restaurants and try to point out certain ingredients in the supermarket, get her to eat interesting food in the restaurant, just to get her interested in food.
I want to ask you about the beverages section of your cookbook. Some delicious looking drinks in there as well. Can you talk us through one of your favorites?
So there are many, many favorites of mine in there. I love a good drink. I think it's my in-laws' influence, really. But I always think a meal is not complete without a good drink, or a meal can't start without a good drink. So I have aperitifs in there and something to have after your dinner and with your dinner as well. One of my favorite things to make on there, which you can actually easily make, is infuse lemongrass and kaffir lime leaves into your gin. You can buy any ordinary gin and then buy sticks of lemongrass and kaffir lime leaves if you can find them. If you can't find kaffir lime leaves, any lemon leaves you can find if you have a lemon tree. And scrunch up the lemon leaves, give it a good wash and scrunch it up, and you infuse it in the bottle of gin for about 2 days, and then you serve it with your normal tonic, and it's delicious. It's just a subtle flavor of lemongrass and kaffir lime leaves in there. It's really, really easy to make, and it's delicious. It gives your normal gin and tonic a little bit of a twist.
And Ping, just as we wrap up here, do you have just a couple words for people who might be thinking of trying Malaysian cooking but just need that extra little push?
Well, the book that I've written, that people seem to think that if I won MasterChef, that I'm a chef and you can't follow the recipes. I'm actually just a home cook, and I started as a home cook, so the book is designed for home cook. If I can do it from a person who can't boil an egg at the age of 21, they can do it too.
Ping, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Ping Coombs is a Malaysian cook and won Britain's Master Chef in 2014. Her new cookbook is Malaysia, Recipes from a Family Kitchen, and we have a couple of her wonderful recipes up on the Central Time Facebook page.